Book of Numbers, chapter 18. So we'll turn to that together. Numbers chapter 18, let's just read the portion. And the Lord said unto Aaron, thou and thy sons and thy father's house with thee shall bear the iniquity of the sanctuary, and thou and thy sons with thee shall bear the iniquity of your priesthood. And thy brethren also of the tribe of Levi, the tribe of thy father, bring thou with thee, that they may be joined unto thee, and minister unto thee. But thou and thy sons with thee shall minister before the tabernacle of witness. And they shall keep thy charge, and the charge of all the tabernacle. Only they shall not come near the vessels of the sanctuary and the altar, that neither they nor ye also die. And they shall be joined unto thee, and keep the charge of the tabernacle of the congregation, for all the service of the tabernacle. And a stranger shall not come nigh unto you. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary, and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore, thou and thy sons with thee shall keep the priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil. And ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. So that's the first section. Now we're going to the next section, chapter verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I have given thee the charge of mine heave offerings of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. Unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance forever. This shall be thine, the most holy things reserved from the fire, every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, and every sin offering of theirs, and every trespass offering of theirs, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it. Every male shall eat it. It shall be holy unto thee. And this is thine, the heave offering of their gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and to thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. Every one that is clean in the house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil, and all the best of the wine, and of the wheat, the first fruits of them, they shall offer unto the Lord. Them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land, which they shall bring unto the Lord, shall be thine. Every one that is clean in thine house shall eat it. Eat, shall eat of it. Everything devoted in Israel shall be thine. Everything that openeth the matrix in all flesh, which they bring unto the Lord, whether it be of men or beasts, shall be thine. Nevertheless, the firstborn of man shalt thou surely redeem, and the firstling of unclean beasts shalt thou redeem. And those that are to be redeemed from a month old shalt thou redeem according to thine estimation, for the money of 5 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary, which is 20 gerahs. But the firstling of a cow, of the firstling of a sheep, and the firstling of a goat, thou shalt not redeem. They are holy. Thou shalt sprinkle their blood upon the altar, and shalt burn their fat for an offering made by fire for a sweet offering unto the Lord. And the flesh of them shall be thine, as the wave breast and as the right shoulder are thine. All the heave offerings of holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed with thee. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. Behold, I have given the children of Israel all the tenth of Israel for an inheritance for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as a heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among your children, among the children of Israel, they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it of the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. And this your heave offering shall be reckoned unto you as though it were the corn of the threshing floor, and as the fullness of the winepress. Thus ye also shall offer an heave offering unto the Lord of all your tithes which ye receive of the children of Israel, and ye shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts ye shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. Therefore thou shalt say unto them, when ye have heaved the best thereof from it, then it shall be counted unto the Levites as the increase of the threshing floor and as the increase of the winepress. And ye shall eat it in every place, ye and your households, for it is your reward for your service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And ye shall bear no sin by reason of it, when ye have heaved from it the best of it, neither shall ye pollute the holy things of the children of Israel, lest ye die. Obviously, I'm not here on previous week, so it's difficult to know just exactly what's been said on previous weeks. God had come in judgment, and this portion, you can think of it as dealing with the question, shall we be consumed with dying? And the question, the answer to that question coming in this chapter is no. But the priesthood, the Levites, and the priesthood, of course, which were the sons of Aaron, which were descended from Levi, but it clearly had the charge over them. He says that there would be no wrath anymore upon the children of Israel. They were going to intercede. They were going to be the ones that would officiate and serve the Lord. He says that the Levites were going to be given to them as a gift. It's interesting to think of it like that, that, you know, you have the children of Israel, and then you have the different tribes, and you have the tribe of Levi. And then the priests were one family, the family of Aaron, within the Levites. And so you're going down in subclasses. But the way it's laid out in this chapter is interesting, in that the priesthood was the most important offering. And the high priest himself, Aaron, was a very significant Very significant role. And we're seeing that the Levites themselves, they are being given, in effect, to help in the service of the Lord. So when you think of the children of Israel, the great numbers of them, and all of the offerings that they were offering and so on, it's clearly that provision is being made so that there are a number, a very large number, in fact a whole tribe, the tribe of Levi, which is supporting the priests. And the tribe of Levi, they are not doing any work on the land. All of their work is for the Lord. And they're provided for by offerings from the other tribes in Israel. And then within the sanctuary itself, it is only the priests that are allowed to do that. And no one else, it was holy, no one else could go near, and if they did, that they would die. And so what God is doing is clearly setting out the significance and the importance of the work of the priesthood, and in particular the work of the high priest. And of course it makes us think about the teaching that we have in the New Testament concerning priesthood, and of our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's interesting that in a difference from the Old Testament, in the Old Testament it was just a certain number of individuals were priests, whereas in the New Testament we're taught very, very clearly that all believers are priests. And we are able to offer, as a result of that, sacrifices unto God. Not sacrifices for sin, as they did in the Old Testament, because our redemption is complete. It is accomplished. The sacrifice is over. And in fact, the epistle to the Hebrews is at great pains and to illustrate that there is, to quote, no more sacrifice for sins. And what that means is there is no more sacrifice in the sense of the Old Testament offerings for sin, because the sacrifice was once and for all. However, God has given us this wonderful privilege, a privilege enjoyed only by a very few in Old Testament days, in fact by one family. He's given this privilege unto all of us. We are priests, and we are able, as a result of that office of priest, to offer sacrifice to God in the sense of the sacrifice of praise, and we're also able to help our brethren and serve our brethren as well. So these are the two main aspects of that we can really take to ourselves. And it's important, and I know this is basic, but I think it's probably worth covering this, that in the broader circle of Christendom, right, there is huge confusion over this. And for years and years and years, you know, Romanism has taught that there is a certain select number of men who are priests, and in some sense they are officiating and coming between the people and God, as in the Old Testament. But of course, that is completely foreign to the New Testament. In a moment we'll turn to some scriptures briefly in the New Testament that illustrate this and illustrate these truths in a New Testament context. But in the New Testament, all believers are priests, not just a few individuals. And the role of that priestly office that we have, which we must take very seriously, is to offer sacrifice unto God. So the Levites, they had to work under Aaron. Aaron, if you like, was in charge. and had responsibility. But that's the same in a spiritual sense, isn't it? That Christians in New Testament times, we work as well for Christ. We are seeking to serve him as our great high priest. As well as that, we see illustrated in this chapter that there is great fellowship between the individuals. You know, they couldn't just do their own thing. They had to work together. And it's the same in a Christian context. You and I have to have fellowship with one another and serve with one another in the service of Christ. We can't be independent and do just the kind of things, whatever we want to do, in our own way. So there is this tendency in some to, you know, depreciate every line of the work of others. You know, we can be so easy for us to become self-centered in the way that we think, and yet it's clear that God expects every one of us to be serving him, and we should have an appreciation for the work of other believers. Now he gives the sons of Aaron the work or the charge. He says the charge of the heave offering. He says by reason of anointing. Now the people of God, they are seen in this section of the chapter, not so much working as in the first section, first seven verses, but in the second section, it's really worship, not as Levites, but as priests. So let's just look at a couple of verses in the New Testament that would maybe bring this home to us and help us understand it in our context. So, first of all, in Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So we see here, and in many other portions of the New Testament, how that Christ is likened to the great high priest that we have in the Old Testament. In fact, Christ is the great high priest. The Old Testament he was called the high priest. But Christ has become as a high priest. And he's entered into the tabernacle, just as Aaron entered into the tabernacle. So Christ has done the same thing in a spiritual sense. Because we understand, don't we, that all that happened in the Old Testament there and all of the aspects of the tabernacle were not primarily for that time, but they were a picture of things to come. And we see that Christ, when he came as an offering, he came, it wasn't with the blood of bulls and goats, this verse 12 speaks about, but he has entered into the holy place with his own blood. Something of, you know, unspeakable value. And he has obtained eternal redemption. So it's quite clear that where the sacrifices in the Old Testament were a continuing thing and an ongoing thing, we see in marked contrast to that, the work of Christ was something that was in a point of time. And it was, to use another scriptural expression, it was once for all. Now, turn over to 1 Peter, please, chapter 2. And we see in verse 5, 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. So we see here illustrated very clearly, this is not something made up in any way, it's lovely teaching in the New Testament, that all believers are priests. He says, ye also are living stones and built up into a spiritual house, not a physical house like a building like we're in this evening, but into a spiritual equivalent of a temple in effect. And he says, ye are an holy priesthood, just as Israel was in Old Testament days. He says, ye are an holy priesthood. And the purpose for that is to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not physical sacrifices, not animals, but spiritual sacrifices. And these sacrifices are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And so that, I think, throws a wonderful light onto what we do particularly on a Lord's Day morning. Because when we come together on a Lord's Day morning, you know, we're not coming just to sing what's in the hymn book, although we do enjoy the singing. But we're really coming, aren't we, to bring sacrifices, to bring offerings unto God. Those offerings are the fruit of our lips, giving praise unto his name. And so we have this expression in verse 5, the holy priesthood. And then we see verse 9, he says here, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And he uses all of these expressions that are taken concerning Israel in the Old Testament. And he's spiritualizing them here. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it's usually pointed out that the distinction between the holy priesthood and the royal priesthood is the different aspects of service. So with the holy priesthood, we're thinking primarily of our offerings unto God. But when we think of royal priesthood service, what we're really thinking about there is our service before men, showing forth the praises of him who has saved us. And so we can think of that as the work that we would do in the gospel, the work that we would do in witness and testimony and so him. We're speaking of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And then there's another verse I've just referred to it briefly, but we'll just turn to it in chapter 13 of Hebrews. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So I really love this verse because it illustrates very clearly what our sacrifices are today. And we see two aspects of it. A sacrifice of praise to God continually. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So that is what proceeds from our lips to God in praise to him. And as you think about that and meditate upon that, you know, it's very challenging. We would
pray on a Sunday morning, wouldn't we, in the sense of offering up praise to God? But he says here, let's offer the sacrifice to God, praise of God, continually. And the challenge is that how much time do we spend praising Him? It's clearly something that He wishes us to do, longs for us to do. And of course He's deserving of that. He's deserving of all our praise, giving thanks to His name. But then he moves on to the second aspect of it, which I mentioned briefly at the beginning, which is doing good unto others. He says, verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So doing good is helping others, so this is a priestly work. And to communicate, I think we all understand this, communicate has nothing to do with speech. Communication, in scriptural terms, is giving. It's giving of our substance unto others. So when we give gifts, whether it's through the assembly or directly to others that we feel exercised about, we are actually giving a sacrifice to God. And in doing that, we are serving Him. So this is what these things mean to us, if you like, in our modern day. As we move on in Numbers 18, he begins to speak about the sons and the sons bearing the oblation. And he says to him that he says, every oblation and every sacrifice and so on that's given, he said, it's for thee and thy sons, and they were to consume it in the most holy place. Now, I take it that when it says the most holy place, it's not, of course, speaking about the Holy of Holies, but it's speaking about the holy place. It's speaking about that part of the tabernacle that is behind the first veil, or the first curtain, if you like. It's there. And they would consume that sacrifice. You know, I think it's something that we don't often think about. There's all of these sacrifices being made. But what happens to those sacrifices? Now, clearly, these sacrifices were being made as provision for the priesthood, and they would feed upon them. And it's a very high thought, I think, to think about consuming something that has been offered as a sin offering or as a trespass offering. And in a sense, the priest is taking that on themselves. They're bearing that. Not in an atoning sense, of course, but in an identification sense. And if we try to think of that in our context, in our situation, you wonder, how can we take on the sin of another? You know, when a brother sins, or someone sins that we know, it is very easy for us, and it's typical for us to be critical, isn't it? To be censorious, to be judgmental. That would be a very natural reaction. But I think there is clear teaching that we should have a very spiritual outlook in helping one another. Now, to illustrate that, I'd like to turn to another briefly New Testament passage, Galatians chapter 6. I'll explain what I mean. And I think that this is touching on that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted.
Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
You know, here is a situation where someone else has done something wrong. And this does happen. And what he says is, he says, you as your spiritual, he said, you know, you should draw alongside that person. And in a spirit of meekness, you know what meekness is? It's that spirit of teachableness. He says, consider thyself, he says, in case you're also tempted. But he says, bear one another's burdens. This is a very high thing. Drawing alongside, understanding somebody else's difficult situation, even if they've got into a sinful situation. And he says, by doing that, he says, you're fulfilling a law. What law is that? He says, the law of Christ. Very, very high ground. Very high ground. And I think this section here in Numbers 18 is touching on that. As these sons would effectively partake of these sacrifices, even these sacrifices that are offered as sin offering and as trespass offering. It's a very high order of service. Just a few comments about the last section then, verse 20. Thou shalt have no inheritance in the land, neither shalt thou have any part in them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. It's lovely to think that the Lord is making provision for them. The Lord is saying, I am your inheritance. I'm going to provide for you. But then, as they would take of the sacrifices that would be given as tenths, as tithes from the children of Israel, then they also would have to give tithes as well. And I think we can think of that in the modern context as well, always trying to understand what this would mean to us. You know, if we have received a gift from somebody else, they have made a sacrifice for that. But then, you know, if we're a recipient of a gift like that, well then, that's free to us, that's given to us. And the Lord is also expecting us to give back to him. It's not like we can say, well, that's given. That's a gift. And so therefore, I don't have to give. No, everything that we receive from the Lord expects us to give off the first fruits back to himself. Now, the other thing that's dealt with in this chapter is this idea of redeeming the firstborn. You know, the firstborn was given to God. And so the firstborn, well, we can think of it, it's probably easy to think of it in the sense of the clean animals, first of all. So, you know, the first of the ox or the goat or the sheep and so on, the firstborn from them, the Lord had always said, that's mine. And so what that meant for the children of Israel was it had to be given. It had to be sacrificed. You know, the firstborn, the very first fruit had to be given back to him. And I think that's a real challenge for us, you know, because we have to give, don't we? Our first fruits back to him, our best. The firstborn was always seen as the chief of the strength. And the Lord says, I want you to give that to me. And I find that, you know, a huge, huge challenge. Now, of course, when it came to human beings, the firstborn was also to be given to the Lord. But, of course, the son would not be sacrificed. The son would be redeemed. And so what would happen in the case of the firstborn son is an animal would be sacrificed instead, in place of, in substitute. But there's still that recognition that the firstborn is, in that sense, given to the Lord. And then it was the same with the unclean animals. With the unclean animals, the Lord didn't want sacrifice of those, and so something else, it would be redeemed. Something else would be sacrificed in its place, because we can only ever give clean things unto the Lord. But I think the challenge for us, the challenge for me, as I think about that, is that giving, that sense of giving the first, you know. We live in an age, in a society, where we're very selfish. Society is very selfish. Everything is for me. And what the Lord wants us to do is to reverse that. And He expects us to give unto Him. And to give the first unto Him. In a spiritual sense, of course. But even as I, you know, meditate upon that and think about that, I find that, you know, a huge challenge is just how much of what I have been recipient of, how much of that is given. And that is not just things, that's just not money, it's not just material things, it's everything. Everything that we've received from His hand, we should think about using that for Him and giving that to Him. So whether we're speaking about service, as the beginning of the chapter speaks of, ministry, or whether we think about priesthood and the work of the priest, offering sacrifices to God, and also serving one another, helping one another, or whether we think of it as things in terms of giving the first fruits to the Lord, there's a challenge in all of that, I think, that we can just take to ourselves and examine ourselves in the light of the scripture, in the light of what God required of Israel long ago. There's quite a lot in this chapter. I've just, in the time available, just given a very high-level overview of some thoughts from it, and hopefully we can take something from that tonight. Let's just speak to God in prayer. God, our Father, we bow in Thy presence and thank Thee for the Scripture. We thank Thee for we're able to consider such portions as this in the Old Testament. And we thank Thee, O God, for the truth. We thank Thee, O God, for the all the provision made. We thank Thee, O God, that there was nothing random about it, but it was all very ordered of the Lord. And Thou wert very disciplined in guiding men as to how they should serve Thee, and how the priest's office should function, and the work of the great priest, and the provision for Thy people. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, for the gifts that were given to them so that they could serve Thee. And we remember, O God, the Levites were given to the priests in order that they would be able to dedicate themselves to Thy service. Father, we pray for us in our day and age that Thou would help us as we think through these things and seek to understand the implications for us in our lives. And we do pray, O God, that we would be prepared to sacrifice and to give, and to give the first fruits unto Thee. Help us, O God, in that, we pray. We just commend ourselves to Thee at the close of our meeting, and remember those, O God, unable to with us tonight. We just commend them to Thee and pray Thy blessing upon us now as we part. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.